On Aspire with Emma Greed, I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From Mark Cuban to Mel Robbins, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast available now.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
If you're a globalist, you just think that Trump flew into Davos and went full gangster. If you're a nationalist, it's the greatest speech since Pericles at Athens. There's no middle ground here. Now, President Trump says, yes, we're going to work together, etc. But he gave you a nationalist perspective of working from a nationalist perspective of working within a community of nations.
So Trump storms into Davos, tells Europe why it is no longer powerful or relevant, and then creates a visual that, folks, you're going to see this picture so many times in the coming years. You might not have seen it this morning because our time, it was about 6 a.m. when all this was going on at Davos. But Trump was brilliant in how he laid out visually what the New World Order was. He gave a speech inaugurating, ushering in his new Board of Peace, which he's very open about. He intends for it to replace NATO. Behind him were a bunch of seats. You could pay $1 billion and your head of state could sit there behind Trump. Or you could just leave us hanging. Again, from yesterday's podcast, $200 billion printed and borrowed on the backs of our debt slave children. While inflation was 9%, we struggled to pay for groceries. $200 billion to defend the Euroweenies from Russia and Russian incursion under Joe Biden. $140 billion over the last 20 years. That's the price we paid for our military presence, our bases, all our soldiers, all of the shields we've built them, for a total of $340 billion on the Euroweenies defense. We asked $1 billion. This was a test. $1 billion to buy one of those chairs. And folks, if Azerbaijan can afford it, if Argentina can afford it, if Bahrain could stand with us and Jordan and Turkey and Saudi Arabia, they got plenty of money. And Qatar, they got money too. Then by God, where were the NATO countries? Nowhere. Nowhere. That's what we get. And understand something, folks, it's so much more than that. Because we now know from the New York Times, we opened a war room. We staffed it with our generals in Badenburg, Germany. We fought Russia in Ukraine. Russia knew that. And I did many podcasts on how terrifying that was. We killed thousands of military and civilians on Russian territory by launching our missiles into there. First under Biden. I never thought Trump would do it, but he would do it later. And that crossed Russia's nuclear red line. We risked nuclear thermal annihilation to protect the Euroweenies. Had they launched that nuclear tip missile, what path would it have traveled? Over Greenland, right at us. We say to the Euroweenies, we would like to buy Greenland. We would like to control Greenland so we can save your ass. Because if they can hit us over Greenland with the missile, guess what? We ultimately can't protect you because we're already bombing inside Russia, which we have been doing. And they say, no? Are you kidding me? They don't, after all of that, they don't even have that $1 billion for the seat on Trump's peace board. And their absence was so conspicuous in that picture. As I was sitting there, I mean, the tension, you could cut it with a knife. Then the news media is just filming these chairs. And this goes on for like 20 minutes as we wait to see who will show up. Who did not show up? The screw you crowd. France, Germany, UK, Italy, Spain, Netherlands, Belgium, Sweden, Poland. Well, they're not our allies, are they? Now, do you understand the exasperated tone that Trump has had in the media? People saying, well, he should be more polite. Are you kidding me? His tone is exactly appropriate. Not only did he dismiss them as they dismissed him, and us with the Board of Peace, he explained to them why he doesn't care anymore, because they're no longer relevant. Folks, three stats tell you every shocking thing that you need to know about this. Again, 20 years ago, the size of the European and U.S. economies were roughly the same. Today, our GDP, depending on the measure, is 40 to 50% higher. Why is that? Two stats tell you everything that you need to know. Germany now generates 22% less energy than it did in 2017. And the UK now produces just a third, 33% of the total energy from all sources it did in 1999. And after all of that money, after all of that help, after all of that military support, this is why Trump was mocking Macron's glasses. Is it America he invites and says, oh, you're welcome in France? No, it's China. This is Emmanuel Macron, head of France.
China is welcome, but what we need is more Chinese foreign direct investment in Europe, in some key sectors to contribute to our growth, to transfer some technologies, and not just to export towards Europe some devices or producers or products, which sometimes don't have the same standards or are much more subsidized as the one being produced in Europe.
But as Trump pointed out, you've got exactly what leverage? But you've destroyed your economy and transferred all your manufacturing to the people using coal. This right here is Trump telling the Euroweenies, not only do they have no leverage, but they've destroyed themselves, and that's why they're irrelevant.
Windmills all over Europe. There are windmills all over the place, and they are losers. The more windmills a country has, the more money that country loses, and the worse that country is doing. China makes almost all of the windmills, and yet I haven't been able to find any wind farms in China. Did you ever think of that? It's a good way of looking at it. They're smart. China's very smart. They make them. They sell them for a fortune. They sell them to the stupid people that buy them. But they don't use them themselves. They put up a couple of big wind farms, but they don't use them. They just put them up to show people what they could look like. They don't spin. They don't do anything. They use a thing called coal, mostly. But China goes with the coal. They go with oil and gas. They're starting to look at nuclear.
Okay, let me break down what's actually going on here with these grotesque, ungrateful Euroweenies, who know, as the head of Finland admitted, they can't defend themselves. Because nobody has nailed what this is. Joe Biden printed $200 billion when he was in office. Biden printed to be paid off by your debt slave children and grandchildren. I can't say this enough times. $200 billion to defend the Euroweenies from Russia. Russian incursion into Europe via Ukraine. Never asked for a thank you. All they did was whine that they needed more. Whine and complain. Further humiliating us, as soon as Trump said, no, we're not sending more checks, they went, oh, okay, well, we always had the money then. Here, we'll spend 100 billion euros. So they always had the money. Why we were giving them the money? I have no idea. Actually, I do know. I think it was laundered. I think it was stolen. We know the New York Times has admitted tens of billions of dollars. Tens of billions of dollars was stolen just by Zelensky's inner circle. And I'm sure a cut went all over the place to the Euroweenies. Democrats look the other way, as members of the Ukrainian parliament have been telling us for years that U.S. Democrats were getting a cut. I have no doubt that they were. It's the Somali scam, but in Europe. So when you see the Euroweenies acting like little toddlers and saying, no, your job is to pay to protect us from Russia. You don't get to protect yourself from Russia. Wait, no, that'll make Russia mad. We buy all of our gas from Russia. We can't make them mad.
And just to be clear, that we have Europe buying Russian oil still, four years later, they are financing the war against themselves.
Okay, as I've pointed out, when we struck inside of Russia extensively and exhaustively, we killed a lot of Russian civilians. Yes, us, not Ukraine. We ran the whole war out of Badenburg, spent $200 billion on it. Our generals were there. New York Times reported that. Russia warned us correctly. Look, we know Ukraine doesn't have targeting satellites. We know that they can't hit us like that. We know it's your hardware. We know you're violating our nuclear red line. We are going to hit you with a nuclear tip ballistic missile. That's their nuclear doctrine. They emphasize it. We risked our lives hitting them and spent $200 billion. And all we want, damn it, is to pay a fair price for Greenland. No. No. And what path will that ballistic missile take when Democrats are reelected and they're in charge and we go back to bombing Russia for fun and giggles? Right over Greenland. Right into the continental U.S. And they won't care. They'll put out strongly worded statements. They will not care. It's outrageous. And Trump said no. Knowing they don't have 2 cents to rub together to get this right, to do this. In other words, to build the kind of shields we can, the ballistic missile system, all this stuff. Why are they acting like this? Because they know they're still allies with the Democrats. That's who enabled this. It's like having a really bad babysitter who lets your six-year-old run around, eat a bunch of sweets, stay up till midnight. Now you got to come home and tame the thing. You got to reestablish order. And do you know what the real world order is? Because nobody seems to be willing to say it. I'll just explain what it is. Europe, the NATO nations, are our enemies, along with China. In lockstep. Our enemies, what are you talking about? The enemies of MAGA. The enemies of half this country who voted for Donald Trump. They are your sworn mortal enemies. Never forget it. They, the Euroweenies, the NATO countries, are allies with the Democrats, Iran, and China. That is the real world order. That's why they're resisting Trump. That's why they're throwing, well, Biden will just cut us another $200 billion. We'll launder it. We'll all get rich. And no, you don't have any right to expect protection from China. The Chinese are minorities. White people have no decision. No, you're a white nation. You're a patriarchal nation. You have no right to be safe. No, no, no. That is their bizarre ideology. That's the world order. Trump just acknowledged it. You want to know when we learned who our mortal enemy was on Earth? I know who my enemies are. I could tell by the arrest stats for speech. 300 people were arrested and imprisoned last year in Russia for what they said on social media in ways that violate human rights. How many were arrested in the UK? 3,000. Sorry, the US, UK. Should call it UKSR, something like that. That's because what it is. When we learned who our mortal enemy is, folks, Russia is not promising to extradite me for trial for what I say on X. The UK's highest prosecutor said that they had the right to extradite Americans for trial. And their allies, the UK's allies in the US, which would be the Democrats, said nothing. They thought it was a great idea. We would later learn it was part of the STAR program. The Democrats were behind it. They're in lockstep. They were going to extradite us for trial. And I look at these Republicans. Well, you know, they're our long-term allies. No, they're not. No, they're not. They'll go back to what you said 3 years ago, and they will extradite you for trial. They are our mortal enemies. That's who they are. Folks, let me remind you, France, do you notice Trump singled out France? Do you realize France opened a criminal case against Trump for things he said on social media that violated their speech codes? Opened a criminal case against Elon Musk for things he said on X that violated their speech codes. Benny Johnson and sweet little Riley Gaines. You know, the cute little blonde swimmer. They were asserting as well the right to extradite all those people and more Americans to France for trial. Who are your enemies? They are. And I'll be damned if we give them any more money. They just feed off of it. You know they're all getting a cut Somali style. You think they let Vladimir Zelensky and his inner circle keep the tens of billions of dollars? No, it was laundered to them. That's the new world order. And that's why Trump said, screw you. I mean, France is planning to extradite him for trial, folks. A year ago. Well, year and 3 months. And that's why the Euroweenies are throwing a fit, because the Democrats would have let them get away with all of this.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
You know it, I know it, we all know it. 2028's going to come. And if we don't pass the SAFE Act plus photo ID, Democrats go steal it. And the world is going to go dark. And the very Euroweenies who are groveling to Trump right now will be the ones who rule the world. It'll be a one-world system built around the central premise of censorship. Klaus Schwab, yesterday at the World Economic Forum, devoted most of his remarks to the need to end mis- and disinformation and division. What does that mean? Total censorship. At the international level, with the software Bill Gates built for it and gave away. They're using it in India now. No dissent. So when he says we're not unified, that's bad. What he means is there's only one point of view. Nothing else is allowed. And you go to prison if you say something differently. It was already starting in France toward the end of the Biden administration. They were making plans to extradite Elon Musk, Donald Trump, Riley Gaines, American pundits for trial and incarceration, because they had said things on social media that violate European speech laws. Democrats, we later learned through the STAR program, were on board. If you want to go through that history, it's all in my Battleground America podcast and on the show. I'm not going to recap it here. One side will lose and one side will win. If you don't realize this is a war, and that if we lose it, we could be facing 8,000 years of darkness. I'm not exaggerating. There's no way back. Elon Musk will go to prison. By the way, there's a chorus of podcasters saying this now, and they're not even saying, you know, what crime he committed. They keep saying on the Democrat side, he's going to prison for the algorithm. They say it again and again. What algorithm? The one that allows true things. What's wrong with the algorithm, according to them? It allows hate. These people are either going to rule you or be overthrown and ground underfoot. And the world Trump sees is the world I see. You look outside. Everything else grows darker and darker by the day. In fact, you watch Fox News. They're already setting it up here. Watch this on Fox News. There's one story that's never in the top 10, top 20, or top 30, but they talk about it every single newscast. It's how you know it's coming from Paul Ryan, the globalists on the board. And that news story is how it's just not enough anymore for parents to use, you know, parent blocker apps for social media. We're going to have to ban social media 16 and under. Just like Australia, we need to have that. Yeah, that's good. It's polling at 60% right now. Every day, Fox has a different guest on to whoop it. And that's just the morning shows. Why? How do they figure out who's 12? How do they figure out who's 16? Everybody has to present digital ID, just like in Australia. Now, for now, you can use the digital ID that's available in Australia. You can give them a credit card, which has all your information. The end of internet anonymity. The number one goal of who? Say it with me, World Economic Forum. They will rule you. You're not going to hear from me. I'll be gone. From the international level. But first, they have to have a way to verify who you are and end anonymity. And the series of bills in the House, sponsored by Republicans, by the way, and the Senate, to do what Australia has done, under the guise of we're going to ban the internet for young people. No, they don't care about young people. They can care less. These are the people importing 300,000 children to sell for sex. They don't care about that. What they care about is that you have to prove you are not 16 by submitting all your information in some way. And the way they do it in Australia, they don't mandate the submission of any information. They just say every violation by, say, Facebook's $50 million fine. Oh, you know how else you can submit? You can let them take a face scan and save your face. Use it as a fingerprint. Because they can verify your age with the face scan. See how this works? They're either going to rule us or we're going to rule them. And it starts in 28. And they get this system on us, we're going to have a hell of a time getting out of it. And don't tell me you're going to shoot your way out of it because you're not. Who are you going to shoot? Seriously, who will you shoot? Them? They? Where are they? Kind of Belgium? Kind of? There's no way out. It's a digital technocracy. That's what the Euroweenies are holding on for. Understand one more thing, okay? I nailed this, and I wish I'd made this prediction more than I did. I was really talking about it a few years ago, and I really haven't said it much since. You can predict, just as you can predict what Joe Biden would do, what the Democrats will do, you can predict what the Euroweenies will do based on whether it's good for China or not. Why resist Trump simply wanting to secure Greenland? Why do that? Why resist Trump wanting to secure the path the nuclear-tipped ballistic missile would travel from Russia on behalf of Russia and China into this country? Why do that? Why do that? Because when push comes to shove in policy, not the things they say, but what they do, what Russia and China want, and Russia is just a vassal state of China at this point, will always come first. They will never side with us, ever. They will never side with us.
And just to be clear, that we have Europe buying Russian oil still, four years later, they are financing the war against themselves.
Of course they are. See how this works? And so Trump gets all this. That's why he threw the gauntlet down. Don't never forget three things. Number one, he sees classified intelligence. You don't. He knows about weapons they have that you and I don't. Guarantee those weapons have been stolen from us. That's what terrifies him. He knows what they can do and he knows they've been stolen. You know how he knows? Folks, never forget what Tim Cook did sitting in that room with Trump. One of the first things Pete Hegseth did, he realized that Obama had quietly moved the military servers for the Pentagon with all our top secret classified stuff to China. And they were being operated by the Chinese engineers. I remember Obama quietly approved it. What they did was that you remember Microsoft had the contracts and they came to the Obama administration and said, hey, can we just move this to China? You'll have all Chinese operators. Yeah, it'd be cool. No, all that classified stuff, we'll put it there. That'd be fine. And Obama quietly and secretly approved it. Pete Hegseth was horrified. They have all of our data. They have all of our tech. Trump knows what it can do. We saw what it can do in Venezuela. Trump understands that. And he knows they have it. Do you know how terrified you'd be? He can't tell you this. That's why he fights like he does. That's why he fights like he does. Here's a pre-storm tip. You got nice steaks in the freezer? Yeah, I'd pull them out, defrost them, and cook them. Just in case the electricity goes out. Got anything valuable in the freezer? Just in case the electricity goes out. Great excuse to party it up, eat that good food, whatever you got frozen in there. Just my pre-storm tip. Okay, want to wrap the show with Liz Truss. She was the prime minister of the UK for just a little bit before they squeezed her out because she wanted the people to be free. What does she think just happened at Davos? I love her take. Here we go.
Well, European leaders are still living in the old world. You know, they call it the international rules-based global order. Unfortunately, what we've seen is the United Nations has become pretty much defunct. It doesn't work anymore. The World Trade Organization has become defunct. That world has gone. And these leaders are still clinging on to it. And as President Trump pointed out, they've ruined their own economies. through things like net zero, cancelling fossil fuels. So Europe is in a strategically weak position. It hasn't contributed enough to NATO over the years. It hasn't sorted out its own economies. And that is why they're in the position they're in. But they're still in denial. And I feel like we've been through this before, where President Trump shakes their cage. There's a commotion. And then eventually it gets to a deal that works for everyone.
You want to know what economic decimation looks like? You want to know what the Democrats will do to this country? This is the same policies. Listen to this. The U.S. and Europe, our economies, GDPs, U.S. and Europe, were essentially equal economically, very close, 20 years ago. Equal in size. 20 years ago, U.S. and Europe. Now the U.S. GDP, our economy, is a staggering 40 to 50% higher, depending on which way you want to measure it. Best case scenario for Europe, 40% higher 20 years later. That's what choking off your own energy will do to you. And that's what Trump pointed out. As he explained to them, you're weak. You got no leverage. You had time to contribute to NATO, be a player, be serious about defending the Western way in the world. Instead, you messed around. It's too late. It's over. I love it. I love it. This is what I voted for.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.